The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We are getting a clearer picture tonight of the candidate list for Speaker of the House. As we told you last night, it includes someone already looking to change jobs again. Senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram has news about how former President Trump may actually get involved here soon. Good evening, Chad.
Brett, good evening. Former President Trump says he'd accept a short-term role as Speaker as the GOP looks for a unifier to lead the House. Former President Trump may be running again for president. Some Republicans want to draft him to be Speaker of the House. Fox confirmed that Mr. Trump could try to attend a GOP candidate forum for Speaker at the Capitol Tuesday night.
I dare them to keep him out. I will nominate him in the conference, and President Trump can attend.
The Speaker of the House doesn't need to be a member.
He'll do whatever's best for the country and for the Republican Party.
But House rules suggest that lawmakers not serve in leadership positions if they face a felony indictment. Democrats relish the potential chaos.
Well, wouldn't that be interesting to see Donald Trump serving as the Speaker of the House for 3 or 4 months, as some are suggesting? And he even seems open to the idea. It seems unlikely. That last bit in the montage there. The Democrats seem to relish the chaos. I think the Democrats would, their heads would collectively explode at the thought of the bad orange man coming back for a stint in the House of Representatives. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience on today's show. We're coming to you this time from Coral Springs, Florida, down really not that far from Mar-a-Lago. We're just 40 minutes or so from Mar-a-Lago here in the southern end of Florida, finishing up our convention here today and tomorrow. And we will be back in the home studio for Monday's show, so we can all look forward to that. In the meantime, we've got a nice little ballroom here that we've set up our equipment in. And hopefully we can pull together a smooth running program for today. I wrote down the 800 number just so that I remembered it. 1-866-930-3024. You can call our operators today and request a free subscription to the Trumpet magazine. There's no cost, no obligation. Just send us the mailing address, and we'll send you 10 issues in the course of a calendar year of the Trumpet magazine. As I say, tomorrow's news today. So it's kind of fun just to think for a moment about the thought of Donald Trump serving as Speaker. You can only imagine what the reaction will be from the radical left, the communist left, when he comes back as president, which we know will happen. We know that will happen. I was thinking just this morning, if you go back to when so much has been revealed, we've talked about how the corruption, the lawlessness has been revealed, all the more so since the election steal of 2020. But if you just go back to 2015, that's 8 years ago, Donald Trump comes down the escalator, as you know. And after that, even at that time, when we were broadcasting, back then it was just the radio program, but it just seemed like, okay, he's saying all the right things, but you know, he's a Hollywood celebrity. He's had a history of many marriages. He's been a womanizer and so on. It was hard to imagine that he was the most conservative among all of those candidates in 2016. And then he pulls off the victory against Hillary Clinton later that year. But now, I mean, now look at what he exposes to this day. I mean, just this week has been crazy. I step away from the program for a couple of shows, and you've got the House speakership vacated. Kevin McCarthy is fired. The reaction to that, we'll play you a montage on that here in just a moment. But it's just, people's minds are exploding over just some rhino speaker getting fired. You've never seen Republicans this angry over anything that's happening in the country. But remove a rhino Republican from his office as speaker, and I mean, that's it for so many of them. As I say, we'll come to that montage in just a moment. But first, this from Fox News. This is just reported yesterday. Trump told Fox News Digital he would serve as a unifier until Republicans can rally around a new speaker. Now, Trump has endorsed Jim Jordan, so he seems to be carefully wording his statements regarding the speakership. But clearly, he's getting a lot of text messages from individuals saying that you should serve as speaker, and he seems open to the idea, if for only a temporary amount of time. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? Again, I don't want to get caught up into too many hypotheticals, but if he were to come in and serve for, let's say, 3 months, just to compare his speakership to Kevin McCarthy's 9 months, all of these Republicans in the House going on and on about how much Kevin McCarthy has accomplished. Really? Really? Has he accomplished that much? We'll get into that here in just a second. But one thing about Donald Trump, he is, for sure, he's a man of action. He really does act. He takes action. It would be glorious to think about him being the Speaker of the House, even if for 100 days, to think about what that man would bring to the table for just a few months. This is from that same piece. It says, former President Donald Trump told Fox News Digital that he would accept a short-term role as Speaker of the House to serve as a unifier. Think about what Democrats like Hillary Clinton must be thinking. She was just on record yesterday saying that the Trump supporters need to be deprogrammed, following the same line of thinking, going all the way back to the beginning. Katie Couric came out with that several years ago. I mean, these people, this is the way they think. Here they're engaged in this communist takeover of the United States. They despise the Constitution. They want to shred the Constitution. And they go on and on about destroying or deprogramming the other side. Donald Trump caught up in this sham investigation, or rather this lawsuit in New York City. We'll touch on that later on if we have time as well. But this is quoting Trump in that same piece. It says, I have been asked to speak as a unifier because I have so many friends in Congress, Trump said. If they don't get the vote, they've asked me if I would consider taking the speakership until they get somebody longer term because I'm running for president. So the front runners seem to be Steve Scalise, and I think Kern from Oklahoma is his name, and then, of course, Jim Jordan. And Jordan has Trump's endorsement. And of course, you know, there's always these behind closed doors meetings and agreements that are being made. But Politico's reporting that Donald Trump could make an appearance in the House here in the next few days, perhaps next Tuesday. Who knows? We'll see what happens. We'll have lots to report on as we get back to our home studio in Edmond for Monday's show. But Trump says here, they have asked me if I would take it for a short period of time for the party until they come to a conclusion. I'm not doing it because I want to, he said. I will do it if necessary, should they not be able to make their decision. That's Trump with his interview for Fox News Digital. So we'll see how this plays out. Some have said that they'll come up with a speaker within days. Others have said it may take weeks. I mean, who can forget what happened back in January? 15 votes, I think, before Kevin McCarthy finally was voted in as speaker, but only after he made so many promises that he broke. He just lied. And Matt Gaetz finally stood up and called him out on that. And so he's the villain, as I said the other day. He's the villain. Donald Trump's the villain. It's pretty amazing to see this play out. As I say, think about what has been revealed. The corruption in the swamp, in D.C., in the deep state. Think about the corruption that's been revealed in 8 short years. Who would have ever thought that government in Washington, D.C., would be exposed, that this sickness would be exposed the way that it is. I've taken you through Isaiah 1 so many times, as I've said before. The prophet Isaiah says the sickness, it goes from the head all the way to the toes. Head to toe, sickness through and through, going back to Tuesday. We just arrived in Coral Springs on Tuesday evening and then turned on the news. We find out everything that had happened in the House of Representatives that day. I think it was Sean Hannity that night who came out with this statement on his program, clip two.
I've now heard from a number of people. I know for a fact Donald Trump has been contacted about possibly him being an interim speaker. Is that a reality?
I don't know. He'd be great, but I want Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States. If he wants to be speaker,
well,
great.
Still,
but,
well, I'll be
I want
clear.
Him, I want him to be
he'd
president
still
of the
run
United
for
States.
President. He's still going to be running for president.
That's where we need him, is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. If he wants to be speaker, then that's fine, too.
There's Jim Jordan. A little bit of an awkward position for him to be in because he wants to be speaker. And by the way, for all of these Republicans who were crying out that it's chaos, it's a disaster. It's a disaster to fire Kevin McCarthy. And then the very next day, well, I'll be speaker. The very next day they sign on. Sure, I'll take that position. There's the swamp for you. I mean, Jim Jordan, I think, would be a decent upgrade over Kevin McCarthy. But I mean, this is man's system. As I was saying here yesterday with the message that I gave, I mean, you look at government, you look at human government, and what man has put together, all of the different varieties over the course of 6,000 years, they've failed. All of them have failed. There is no hope in man's government. That's why with festivals like this that we're celebrating this week, we talk so much about God's coming government to this earth. The return of Jesus Christ to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The marriage of Jesus Christ to the church. The church serving as the bride of Christ for all eternity, bringing in billions of children into the family of God. That government, and you can read about it in so many different verses of the Bible, and people, even in the world of religion, they just dismiss it. But read Revelation 2, 26 and 27. Read Revelation 3, verse 21. Read the last half of Revelation 11 about Jesus Christ returning to this earth and ruling the nations. And you know what it says there at the end of that passage? It says that the nations are angry. They don't want the rule of God. They'd prefer the rule of man. And look at what the rule of man gets you. I mean, just going back to January, all of the fighting over who was going to be speaker, and then the backroom deals, and then the promises, and then the promises that are broken. And then you have the circus that was this past Tuesday. Our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Read through Zechariah 14 and see what God has to say about the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. You're familiar with the first coming. I mean, there's all the detail in the Gospels about what he did during his 3.5 year ministry. But he said in John 14 that if I go, I'm coming again. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus Christ is returning to this earth? He certainly is. And we anxiously anticipate that glorious arrival. In the meantime, as God's church, we will watch world events and pray always. We'll comment on the affairs of this world, on government in the world today. But you should know that underpinning that message that we give to you is this foundational truth that there is no hope in man. Read through Jeremiah 17, see what God has to say about all of man's plans and operations. So Hannity comes out with that announcement on Tuesday, I think it was, and then it was just the next day, someone asked Donald Trump, he's in the midst of this crazy lawsuit in New York City. I'll get to that a little bit later if I have time. But this is what Donald Trump had to say as he was exiting the courthouse, I believe, clip three.
A lot of people have been calling me about Speaker. All I can say is we'll do whatever's best for the country and for the Republican Party.
Would you take a job?
People.
Would
you
take a job?
We have some great, great people.
Would you take a job?
A lot of people have asked me about it. I'm focused. You know, we're leading. I don't know you. I'm sure you don't read too much in the papers. But we're leading by like 50 points for president. You know, my focus is totally on that. If I can help them during the process, I would do it.
If I could help them during the process, I would do it. That's Donald Trump from the other day. He has since come out and heartily endorsed Jim Jordan. That was on Truth Social. But I think Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse makes a pretty powerful point regarding Donald Trump's willingness to do whatever. He says here, President Trump is fighting to defend his businesses, fighting to defend his family, fighting to defend himself from malicious prosecution and lawfare, fighting to defend our nation, and fighting to return to the office of the presidency. And yet, with all of that placed on his shoulders, he's willing to stand in as Speaker of the House, if that is what is in our nation's best interest. Sundance says, let all of that sink in while you pray for him. Then think of the insignificance of the gnats who would challenge him for office. In other words, he's a towering figure, and he's made sacrifices to serve his nation. I think it's interesting. It's a powerful point in and of itself when you think about the fortune that he lost to serve as president the first time. When you think about the fact that he comes into office as president and he takes no salary. He's not trying to line his pockets, in other words, like everyone else, even Matt Gaetz. He's a target now, and he's the only one in Congress, the only one in the House of Representatives who won't take handouts or contributions from big donors or lobbyists. He just takes them, as he often says, from ordinary Americans. $10, $20, $30 here and there. Everyone else is essentially paid off. There's one example this week, I won't give the name, but a gal who voted against McCarthy in January, she didn't want him as Speaker. This time around, Tuesday, she voted for McCarthy. And so what happened in that 9-month period? Well, she was receiving McCarthy, he's a big fundraiser. He's raised hundreds of millions of dollars, and so that's why the swamp loves him. That's why the Uniparty, that's why the Republicans love Kevin McCarthy. He brings in the money, and then he doles it out to these people on the condition that you support my speakership, that you don't vote for a motion to vacate. And so that Congresswoman, she was silent this time around. She quietly supported Kevin McCarthy because, well, she's on the take now. Matt Gaetz isn't, Donald Trump isn't, and look at who are the biggest targets for the Uniparty in Washington. That would be Gaetz and Trump. I'm not suggesting that either of those men are perfect. They certainly aren't. But they do sacrifice for the country. And it shows you, like I say, 8 years since he came down the escalator, look at what's been revealed about the corruption, the greed in Washington, and it's only being revealed more so with what happened Tuesday, and then just the thought of Donald Trump serving as Speaker. Think about what the vote, even if he didn't get all the votes, there's plenty of rhinos in the House of Representatives that would surely vote against Donald Trump. But again, look at how revealing that vote would be. Then it would be clear going into primaries, going into the next election, these people are on the side of Donald Trump and these ones over here are not. We've said from the beginning, we said it back in March following the circus back in January when Kevin McCarthy barely got in there. We've said that this is not a Republican versus Democrat thing. This is the Uniparty versus Donald Trump. This is from the March Trumpet article that we wrote. The real battle in America is not Democrats versus Republicans. These are basically two parts of the same big government uniparty. It says the real battle is the uniparty versus Donald Trump. that's where the battle lines have been drawn. It's just like that January issue of The Trumpet brings out. You've got all of these forces aligned against Donald Trump, and then on Trump's side, you have Trump standing virtually alone. If you haven't subscribed to The Trumpet magazine, and you want to get tomorrow's news today, call our operators, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024, and request a free, there's no cost, no obligation, request a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet magazine. Of course, if you'd like to get to any of our material, including The Trumpet magazine online, you can download the PDFs, print them off on your printer. Just go to thetrumpet.com. You can also send us some feedback if you email us at thetrumpet, what's the email address?
TD@thetrumpet.com.
You see, when I don't have it right, this is my comfort, here, my notes. I can always refer back to that if I get a brain freeze, but there you go. Send us an email. I know my Twitter handle, at Stephen Fleury, Stephen with a PH. Tomorrow's news today, one more quote from that March issue of The Trumpet, or this might have actually been in a Trumpet brief. It says, those who resisted the business as usual appointment of McCarthy are largely Trump supporters. This is, again, commenting on what happened in January when McCarthy was first voted in. It says, are largely Trump supporters, apparently the only ones willing to battle the uniparty. It says, Bible prophecy indicates they will have more successes ahead. How about that? How about that? Even Matt Gaetz seemed pretty pessimistic, going back to Sunday and Monday, that McCarthy would actually be voted out. And yet it happened. And again, the Republicans erupted in fury because these eight Republicans, together with the Democrats, you're siding with the Democrats, you're the rhino, they started saying to these eight that stood up against the reckless spending, $15 trillion in the last 2 years, wide open border, millions and millions of illegals just streaming into the country, tens of billions going off to Ukraine, nothing to the southern border. And Matt Gaetz and the other seven finally said, that's enough. That's enough. McCarthy hasn't followed through on his promises. He reached a deal with Democrats just a week ago on the continuing resolution. Mark Levin wasn't up in arms over that, but he sure hates Gaetz now. Like I say, I mean, these people are being exposed. We used to play quite a lot of clips of Mark Levin. What happened this week? His brain has exploded as well. These eight have stood against. They've stood against the uniparty. And as it happens, it took just one vote, and Kevin McCarthy was gone. Listen to this deranged. These are conservatives, what you're about to hear in this montage. These are conservatives who just unleashed this unhinged reaction to Kevin McCarthy as if the country has been attacked by terrorists or something. This is how they reacted to McCarthy being fired from his speakership on Tuesday. Clip one.
Some of our brothers and sisters, particularly in the MAGA camp, I think, particularly enjoy the circular firing squad. You want to come at me and call me a rhino? You can kiss me. Look, I've spent a lifetime fighting for limited government conservatism. I have laid it all on the line. I've not seen my family but for 2 days in the last 30 days. You go around talking your big game and you thumping your chest on Twitter? Yeah, come to my office to come have a debate, mother. You know why? Because I'm standing up for this country every single day. And Steve, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to go to a nunnery. Because God, there are people who are buried over in Normandy who deserve us to stand up for what they fought for. So that's what I'm going to do. And all of you out there who are out there saying what you're saying out on social media, you stick it.
4%, 4% decided they were so morally superior, so intellectually pure, so patriotically better, that they would side with the Democrats, and that's what they did, in order to defeat the entire Republican House caucus. 96% of the Republicans voted for McCarthy. 4% voted against him. From my position as a longtime Republican activist, they're traitors. All eight of them should, in fact, be primaried. They should all be driven out of public life. What they did was to go to the other team to cause total chaos.
I mean, the Speaker of the House is arguably the most powerful member of that chamber. And what do you think this says to countries who are looking at what's happening here?
Well, let me say that chaos is never America's friend. That a handful of Republicans would partner with all the Democrats in the House of Representatives to oust the Speaker of the House.
The Republican Party today just can't govern. The Democrats have become the party of discipline, and the Republicans have become the party that lacks discipline. So there used to be a party called the Know-Nothings, and now I think Matt Gaetz is leading a party called the Do-Nothings.
The reality is that the Republican Party cannot exist as a functional party if just eight members at any point in time can join with all Democrats to eject a speaker.
Oh, I think he should be expelled from the conference, no question. He violated the conference rules, so I certainly believe that he should be removed from conference.
They're a bunch of insurrectionists, and they're not going to go to heaven. Kevin McCarthy, I've been texting him, he's going to go to heaven. These insurrectionists are not going to heaven. I'm not going to say where they're going to go. But it's not going to be heaven.
Think long and hard before you plunge us into chaos, because that's where we're headed if we vacate the speakership.
Under Speaker McCarthy's leadership, our House Republican majority has actually defied all odds and overperformed expectations again and again and again.
The Republicans just dethroned their best fundraiser and throttled the impeachment inquiry.
I think it's a very sad day.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz is going to try an unauthorized coup.
Texas Speaker Pro Tem until the election of a new speaker and bestows the authorities of the office of speaker upon the Speaker Pro Tem to the extent necessary and appropriate to that end. Accordingly, pursuant to Clause 12A of Rule 1, the chair declares the House in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
McHenry nearly broke the gavel there at the end. They were furious. You have never seen so many Republicans so angry. These people, like I say, it's revealing, isn't it? Those were all Republicans and or conservatives, quote unquote, just unhinged. It's like it was a terrorist attack against the United States. In some ways, I was kind of heartened in seeing so many of those clips, thinking that, well, at least they're capable of getting a little righteous indignation. I won't say that was righteous, but they're capable of getting angry, let's say. But look at what angered them. Speaker McCarthy, no longer speaker. As if now the country's in chaos. Before it was perfect. I guess during the McCarthy months, there were 9 months of McCarthy, everything was just perfect, right? That's really the message coming through from that montage. You don't see them. You don't see them getting angry. Not that angry about the election steal. They won't even talk about that. They pretend it didn't happen. They don't get angry about the fake steal dossier. They just move on. Well, okay, the Democrats, they play dirty, but let's just move on. Let's forget about what the Steele dossier led to, all the spying, all the persecution aimed at Donald Trump and company for years. Mueller, Weissman, Strzok, Page, Comey, Clapper. Who was ever held to account? Nobody, because the Republicans you saw there in that montage did nothing, no action. And they talk about Matt Gaetz. One of them said, Matt Gaetz is the leader of the do-nothing party. He did something this week. And if you get Scalise, if you get Jim Jordan, if you get Kern, whoever it is, I'm pretty sure it's going to continue on there in the House, probably with not a lot of action. Put Donald Trump in there for 100 days, it would be a different story. What about the wide open border? Do they get that angry? Do they nearly smash the gavel over tens of millions of illegal aliens coming into the country? Illegally. Do they smash the gavel when these sham impeachments are brought up by Nancy Pelosi and company over a perfect phone call and a fake insurrection? Did any of them get that angry, that hot under the collar? What about with the indictments? What about with Letitia James's case in New York City over Donald Trump exaggerating? Do any of them get that angry over that kind of corruption, over that kind of a miscarriage of justice? Do they, I mean, the one, Chip Roy, just one profanity, one profane word after another, really? Because you lost Speaker McCarthy? That's the end of the Republic? What about the $33 trillion in federal debt or the deficit spending that continues every year? $4.5 trillion in, $7 plus trillion out. Every single year, add $2 and $3 trillion to the debt. No problem. Do any of them get that angry about what that leaves for our children or our grandchildren? You're not going to see it. They're not going to smash a gavel over trillions and trillions of dollars being added to the debt. And for what? For wasteful spending in so many cases. For misguided spending. Send $100 billion to Ukraine. Do nothing. Don't send one penny to the border for southern border security. How about the weaponized DOJ and FBI? Do any of them, okay, Comer's got his investigation going on into the Biden crime family. But, you know, it's moving pretty slow. One of them talked about how that's completely nuked now because of Kevin McCarthy being gone. I guess the investigation can't continue. Meanwhile, as important as some of the revelations have been, where are the subpoenas for Hunter Biden, for Joe Biden, for James Biden? You don't see it. And you don't see any Republicans getting really angry over that. No righteous indignation there, but get rid of a rhino Speaker of the House. And that, as you saw, that sets them off. You can go on and on. This says all that you need to know about just how angry the Fox News Republicans are or were at the news of Kevin McCarthy's firing. This is Brian Kilmeade. He has Tim Burchett on, and he's one of the eight that voted to remove Speaker McCarthy. And, you know, Brian Kilmeade, I guess he fancies himself as an objective journalist, but just listen to these questions and consider the tone in this exchange between Kilmeade of Fox News. He's on with Fox every morning, the morning show. Just judge for yourself. Clip 7.
When it looks like you're the ringleader of a circus led by Matt Gaetz, who likes to blow things up but not offer any new ideas, are you happy following Matt Gaetz? Is that your leader?
I'm not following Matt Gaetz. I made my own decision. I didn't ask Matt.
But if Matt Gaetz didn't challenge, you weren't going to challenge.
Do what?
If Matt Gaetz didn't stand up, you weren't going to challenge. You know that.
I believe I would have.
Please, you were praying about it 1 minute. The next minute, you're going to lead an insurgency?
So you don't think that praying about it's important? Is that what you're saying?
You're praying about how you're going to vote with Matt Gaetz. And the next minute, you're going to lead an insurgency?
Listen, you got a predetermined answer to everything.
I have an opinion about what's going on. Do you have an opinion, too?
And you talk over me every time I try to make
a point. All right, make your point. They all supported Kevin McCarthy, including the most conservative guy I know, Jim Jordan. Why are you smarter than Jim Jordan and the 210-plus Republicans? Why are you smarter?
Why are you smarter than all the other Republicans? That was in an interview with one guy over a vote for Speaker. You can see, you know where the Murdochs stand. You see what's happened to Fox News. How has all of this been exposed? Well, for the most part, it comes down to the bad orange man. This is why it would be awesome to see him actually get to a point where there was a vote in the House, because whether he ends up as Speaker or not, and really, Trump's not going to be Speaker unless God wants for that to happen, but whether he's Speaker or not, it would be great to see all of those Republicans have to cast their vote, yay or nay. You want Donald Trump for a short period of time? Well, let's put it to the vote. Kilmeade is not happy that Matt Gaetz is leading an insurrection by voting to remove a speaker in the House of Representatives. My favorite moment, one of my favorite moments from Tuesday afternoon when they had this hour-long debate, was when Elise Stefanik, that some had put her name out there as a possible replacement for McCarthy. She got up. I mean, they're all lapdogs for McCarthy, or at least they were up until the vote Tuesday. And then the next day, like I say, they raised their hand saying, I'll be speaker. Sure, I'll be speaker. They say it's a disaster. The country's in chaos. And then the next day, I'll fix it, says Jim Jordan. Elise Stefanik, she talked about McCarthy's record and how that we've exceeded expectations. Well, you heard one guy say that in the montage. But listen to the way Matt Gaetz responded to Stefanik. This is clip 6.
Under Kevin's speakership that lasted 15 rounds of him never giving up, this Republican majority has exceeded all expectations.
Now, I would just say, if this House of Representatives has exceeded all expectations, then we definitely need higher expectations.
We definitely need higher expectations. Where are the subpoenas? Why compromise with Democrats over the budget? Why give them a continuing resolution? Why not hold anyone to account over the fake and bogus sham indictments, impeachments, investigations, spying? That's, as I say, it's a pretty low bar for Elise Stefanik to say, yeah, we've exceeded expectations these past 9 months. Really? And then everything just descends into chaos over the firing of one speaker, one Republican. That's going to destroy everything. This is just shifting gears here a little bit. You may have heard about the border wall that the Biden administration is now suddenly, I guess, going to build. I mean, these Democrat cities, these dark blue cities, they're just turning to mayhem, violence, crime all over the place. Every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. It's almost like Genesis 6. We're nearly there. Evil, man's mind on evil and violence continually, just like it was before the flood. And so finally, and this is the weirdest thing, the way that they're explaining this, the way that they're justifying the construction of a border wall, while at the same time, unbelievably, saying that, well, we really don't want the border wall because border walls really don't work. But, you know, we have to build it because, well, we abide by the law. Listen to this. This is clip 9.
And just told me that a border wall does not work. If that's the case, why does his own Department of Homeland Security secretary say in a public notice, quote, there is presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers?
So the facts are this. This is not new. These funds were appropriated in fiscal year 2019 under Republican leadership, and DHS is required by law to use the funds for appropriated purpose. That's what we're seeing. This was announced back in June by the DHS. And so, look, we believe that there are better effective ways of moving forward to secure our border and security, our border security, and we have continuously asked for Congress to act, to provide our CBP, the law enforcement at the border, to give them the resources they need to do their jobs. And so we're going to continue to call on Congress. We believe, and the president has been very clear, even when you ask him, does a border wall work? He said no. This is something that we were required by law, and we are compliant. This is an administration that does believe in the rule of law.
But why now? For instance, these funds have been available since Biden took office. Why at this time?
And the president actually spoke to this, and this is one of the things that he was saying, that he's been asking Congress to reappropriate the funds. He has been for the past couple of years, and Congress refused. And we have to comply by law to get this done. And
border walls, in effect, why is the Homeland Security Secretary saying that it's necessary to prevent unlawful entries into the United States?
I have not seen that full statement. I know. I hear you. I'm for it, and you heard directly from the president. His stance on the border wall has not changed. He does not believe it is effective.
Okay, talking about heads exploding, mine exploded. Trying to follow the logic here, the funding, it was during Trump's, they won't mention Trump by name, really weird. But the funding was approved in 2019. Evidently nothing happened for years, 4 years on, I guess. Now, all of a sudden, the DHS secretary says, we've got to have a border wall to prevent unlawful entry. And then you've got KJP and the fake president saying, well, we'll go ahead and construct it then, but just so that you know, we don't feel like walls are effective, but we'll only do it because we have to, because the money has been allocated. It's not being directed elsewhere. I mean, and Biden's, I mean, his his people, his supporters are furious now because he campaigned on the promise that no more walls going up. So this is how they try to explain themselves. They know it's needed. They know it's necessary to prevent unlawful entry. So they go ahead with it. The funding is there. And then they tell their base, we don't think it's really effective, but we're only doing it because, you know, we're law-abiding. We're a law-abiding administration. 2 seconds ago, these same people said that building a border wall was racist. That's what they said. And now the wall goes up. It's so bad that even Joe Obama has decided to put up more of a security fence, a barrier. Reuters says here, President Joe Biden's administration said Thursday it will add sections to a border wall to stave off record migrant crossings from Mexico, carrying forward a signature policy of former President Donald Trump. One of Biden's first actions after taking office in January 2021 was to issue a proclamation pledging that, quote, no more American taxpayer dollars be diverted to construct a border wall. No more wall. That's racist. Not going to do that anymore. And what is it? 8-10 million illegals later? In just 2.5-3 years. That's right. Says the administration said Thursday's action did not deviate from Biden's proclamation because money that was allocated during Trump's term in 2019 had to be spent now. I mean, we haven't changed our policy. We're the same as we've always been. I mean, we're just upholding the Constitution here. It says here, the Biden administration decision to move forward with the border barriers will open the president to criticism from his left-leaning base. Talks about the people just streaming in through the Rio Grande Valley, and it quotes Alejandro Mayorkas, he's the DHS secretary. It says here, quoting him, there's presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers. How do you make sense of this? Mayorkas, who just turns a blind eye to all this illegal entry into the states, and now he admits, yeah, we do need a barrier. And then you have Joe Obama out there saying, okay, we'll do the barrier, but just so that you know, We're not supportive of a barrier. Okay. This was Peter Ducey trying to wrap his mind around KJP's logic, clip 10.
If you have to build a border wall, but you don't think that it's going to work, then once it's done, are you just going to tear it down?
I'm not getting into hypotheticals.
As someone mentioned on Twitter, in just 10 seconds, he destroyed that woman's credibility, her career even. If you have to build it, and you don't think it's effective, what are you going to do at the end? Tear it down again? He's trying to wrap his head around the logic, if you can call it that, as well. When we come back, we will conclude today's show with a short Bible study segment. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. The Twitter handle, Stephen Fleury, and whatever else you need. If you're looking for our literature, you know about the 800 number. The website is thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advanced news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Many moons ago, we had some Bible study segments on the point of being led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 brings this out. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. We must be led. This is Romans 8, verse 7, just to back up from the verse I just gave to you. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So the attitude of the natural, unconverted mind is hostile to God and his law. That's human nature. And upon conversion, after repentance and belief or faith, God gives you, assuming you've been baptized and you've had the hands of a minister of God laid upon you and that prayer of anointing, God gives you the spirit of humility and submission, a willingness, a childlike attitude, a willingness to follow in the steps of Christ, to be led by the Spirit of God. This is from a coworker letter back in 1967. It says, but, and understand this well, Mr. Armstrong's writing, your old carnal self, your human nature will pull you the other way. Even after conversion, even after the receipt of the Holy Spirit, you're still going to be pulled in the wrong direction because of that human nature, Satan's nature, actually. It says, the world, your worldly friends, worldly cares, interests, pleasures, these too will pull you. They will tug hard at you to pull you off of God's road, and so will Satan. So what do you face? It says three strong pulls, all pulling you away from Christ, pulling to get you off of God's way, trying to pull you away from the road that leads to everlasting life in God's kingdom. God's not going to push us into his kingdom. He's not going to drag us into his family. We have to strongly desire it. We have to strongly go after his way of life, and with his help and power and inspiration and guidance, we can enter into his loving family. Philippians 2 and verse 12, we read this a couple weeks ago as well. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is something that we've got to work out. That doesn't mean that we earn it by our own efforts. That's hardly the case. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. But how strong is our desire to obtain that gift, to seek after that gift, to amend our ways so that we can follow in the direction of Christ? We're in a very similar experience, spiritually speaking, that the ancient Israelites were in when they departed Egypt and they had to follow that pillar cloud. You can read about that in the book of Numbers, but they'd set up camp, and then when the cloud moved, or the pillar of fire at night, when it moved, they had to move along with it. They had to follow it. And a lot of times those movements happened at inconvenient moments. And they had to pack things up and they had to get on the move again. What a test that would have been for their attitudes. And it's the same with us today. Jeremiah 10, verses 23 and 24, it says it's not in man to think and direct his own steps. We just don't have what it takes to know which way to go. We need God's guidance. We need his direction always. But be assured, he'll give it to us if we seek after his Spirit. If we ask for that gift, God will give it to us. I think that's in Luke 11. I mean, he says if a father in the flesh gives good gifts to his children, how much more will our heavenly Father give us spiritual gifts? The gift of the Holy Spirit, this is in Romans 7 and verse 18. This is a powerful chapter too, because it describes the war that's going on, the war of the wills, what we would do naturally, our own human nature, those pulls of the flesh, as opposed to what God's will is for us. Verse 18, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me." This is Paul writing. "That is, in my flesh, I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." You see, Paul, oven by himself, he didn't know how to perform that which is good. God had to show him. This is from the War of the Wills chapter. You can find this in the Overcomer booklet. If you'd like to request a free copy of that, we'll send one out to you right away as well. My father says here, Paul had human will to build godly character and to overcome, but even though his human will desired it, he couldn't do it. The human will cannot build spiritual character. He had a desire, he wanted to go God's way, but it takes the will of God to bring about that transformation. Now, we've got to do our part. Philippians 2:12 brings that out. Verse 19, it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." It says, "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." So the Christian life is about constant overcoming and growing. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's what this Christian battle is all about. We've got to fight. I mentioned earlier in the first segment, those verses in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, we've got to be overcomers. We've got to conquer our adversary, the devil, just like Jesus did. And Revelation 3:21 says that if we do that, as Jesus did, then we'll sit with Christ on his throne, just like Christ is sitting on the Father's throne right now. Verse 24, here's Paul again talking about this wrestling match that he was engaged in spiritually. It says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who's going to deliver me? Who's going to rescue me? Paul looked at his carnal nature and he was thoroughly disgusted with himself, with his nature, with the way that he thought, with those carnal pulls, those fleshly impulses that he so easily succumbed to. You see a lot, again, in these scriptures about what the purpose is for the Christian life. It's one of constant overcoming of bad habits and evil and sin that dwells within. Verse 25, who's going to deliver me? He says in verse 24, and then the next verse, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Paul had spent so many years before conversion just relying really on his own human will to get by. And of course, in those years, he was persecuting the church. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do, but he was actually fighting against God. He learned over the course of his conversion that conversion is largely about just submitting to the will of God and being willing to go forward with Christ. When you stop fighting against God and his will, well, then you can really experience some pretty exciting growth. A couple verses just to leave you with. You can look at these later. But Philippians 4:13, this is also Paul writing. He says over there, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." It has to be through Christ. And then Matthew 19 and verse 26, this is Jesus. He said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The life of Christ, it's the living Christ who saves us. Romans 5, 8 through 10 spells that out. The living Christ, Jesus Christ is the way out. Jesus Christ living in you is the way to God's kingdom. That's all we have time for on today's show, unfortunately. We're broadcasting from Southern Florida. We will be back in the home studio, Edmond, Oklahoma, for Monday's show. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thank you for joining us all week. We've had some wonderful substitutes filling in for a few of the programs this week, and we thank you for your support. We'll see you next time.